for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, December the 31st, 1993. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter is the speaker of the morning.
One day the Savior to me he whispered, "Child, I want you out of Babylon." Then he led me, said, "You better get ready, for I'm giving you a chance to travel on. If from God's order I now should wander, where could I go, Lord? Where could I go? I know that Babylon surely don't want me, for too many things about her now I know. I guess the world would take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track, for I've had enough of sin, and I love this peace within. So keep me, Jesus, here in your order, for if I should leave you now, where could I go? At first I worried, grew so discouraged, and the devil said, the goal you'll never make. But Jesus told me that his words would hold me, but the bitter with the sweet I'd have to take. If from God's order I now should wander, where could I go, Lord? Where could I go? I know that Babylon surely don't want me, for too many things about her now I know. I guess the world would take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track, for I've had enough of sin, and I love this peace within. So keep me, Jesus, here in your order, for if I should leave you now, where could I go? Now I'm contented, for the Lord is in it, amen. And I have a peace I never had before. Now that I know Him, I intend to show Him that at last all my wandering days are o'er. I guess the world could take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track, for I've had enough of sin, and I love this peace within. So keep me, Jesus, here in your order, for if I should leave you now, where could I go? For if I should leave you now, where could I go? Amen. You relate to that a little bit? All right. I'm going to sing a song that you probably all know, so I'm giving you permission to sing along with me, okay? When I first fell in love with Jesus, and I gave Him all of my heart, well, I thought I couldn't love Him more than I did right at the start. But as I look back o'er each mountain and each valley where I've been, well, it makes me know I love Him so much more than I did then. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. There's a hand that I hold on to through each valley and each trial. There's a shoulder that I lean upon as I face another trial. There's a friend that I can depend on. He's fresh and new each day. And with love my heart is overflowing. That's why I can say I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over, over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over, over and over and over again. Praise God. You know, when we get down to the end of camp meeting, I am usually, like Glenn was saying, I'm blessed. Oftentimes I'm tired, but I got a little more rest this time than I sometimes do. And I'll have to say, of course, I really will have to say that I have been so blessed by the fellowship with all of you. It's been good. I've been ministered to. The quality of the teaching has been wonderful. And I feel like I'm going home with many things to think about, to ponder on, put into practice. Now, what I want to share with you this morning is something I'm going to encourage you to get the tape of. I realize when I look back there on the book table, I've ministered on this before, but I have a lot more confidence about this subject now than I did when I first started out. In fact, the first time I ministered on this subject was just to the camp family here one Sunday morning. Maybe you remember that, Glenn. And just to the folks that live on the campground and are the ones that are associated here. And I kind of stepped out like you would on thin ice because I wasn't quite sure where this was going to lead us. I felt I had a truth, but I was just a little bit apprehensive. And as I began to minister on it and began to see the results of it, I realized that God was definitely with me in this subject. And what I'm talking about this morning is a spirit that hates marriage. And it will keep people from getting married. It will keep marriages from enduring. It will try to break up marriages. And there is a name to this spirit. And it has the name Asmodeus. Now, the reason I can tell you all about this is because this spirit, this demon, you know, we can say spirit easier than we can demon. Have you ever noticed that? It's easier for us to say, well, this spirit, you know. But this demon had hold of my life big time. And I didn't realize it, but it really did. And probably other people saw that, but I didn't see it. The subject of this has gone around the world. I've been surprised, and it's had some wonderful, wonderful results. There have been people that have come to the campground to get ministry for this. The tapes have gone to people, and they've put into practice. Or they first of all prayed to be released from that spirit, people, that demon. People have gotten married after they've listened to that tape and broke that bondage in their life. And so I'm very confident this morning about where we stand on this. Now, before we begin, I want us to turn to 1 John chapter 3. Somebody read this verse the other night, but I want us to read it again, verse 8 of chapter 3. The second part of the verse, it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Good verse. He appeared, he came
to undo all the things that the devil had done. And I'll tell you what, there's been far more that's happened now than even back 2,000 years ago. Far more sin that has gone on in the world. There's more people. And Jesus talked about this time when it mentioned how the world would get worse and worse in the end times. And we see the result of the sin in the generations that are coming up right now. So, Lord, we pray this morning that you're going to quicken this word to every heart that is here. And we pray that this tape will be anointed of your Spirit as well, that it will go around the world. We pray, Lord, this morning that this tape is going to go into every nation. We pray that it will go to every continent. And we pray that it will go into the homes of people who have been destroyed by this demon Asmodeus. We pray, God, for a restoration, because you said that you came to destroy the works of the devil. We claim that verse this morning. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that this word would take root in our hearts and will grow and will bear fruit 100-fold in the kingdom of God. We ask for nothing less this morning than that. And we thank you in advance for it. We also take authority over every contrary spirit that would try to prevent it from reaching hearts today. We take authority over the spirit of divination. We take authority over anything that sounds religious or looks religious. And we pray right now that it would be under our feet in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. And we thank you for the truth and the victory that is in your word alone. Amen. Okay. Now this morning, as I talk about this demon, he's called the King of Demons. Now you can write these things down, but I really want to encourage you to get the tape, because there are going to be at least 12 characteristics of this demon that I'm going to talk about. Normally I just talk about 5, but I'm going to mention all of them this morning. And I'd like to say to you, if you wonder if you have been influenced by this, if you feel like your mate has been influenced by it, been possessed by it, if you felt like you yourself have been possessed by it, I like to say to you, like they say about the 7 cancer danger signals, that there's 7 of them, you know. And, you know, if you've got maybe 1, that's no, probably doubtful that you have cancer. But if you've got 7 of the 7, or 6 of the 7, or 5 of the 7, you know, you need to do something about it. You need to see a doctor about it and get a diagnosis so you know how to pray. That's why I go to the doctor, to get a diagnosis so I know how to pray. And I'm going to give 12 at least, and I would have to say out of the 12 that I probably had 12, or 11 anyway. And I did not get my information from the scripture initially, but I got it from the encyclopedia and other books at the library that talked about mythology and Jewish history and things like that. So you can go and you can check me out today, and you can go to the encyclopedia. The older encyclopedias will give you more information. Some of the newer ones leave this out entirely on the demon of Asmodeus. And he is called the genius of matrimonial discord. His function is to destroy marriages. Number one function. And C. Peter Wagner, who wrote the book about warring with dark angels, he edited that book anyway. He says in that book, he cites an example that happened down in South America where demons were talking out of a person. So, you know, we have to take that cautiously. But this demon said there was 5 controlling spirits over the world, and that Asmodeus was one of them. And I have found in the traveling that I have done that the devil isn't only trying to destroy marriages here. He is also trying to destroy them in every nation of the earth. And though the function or the culture may be different in different countries, still, and our systems of courtship and marriage may be just a little bit different, still, when this demon goes to work, the manifestations, the characteristics are going to be exactly the same. In fact, it wasn't long after I had never heard about this spirit. Never heard the name to my knowledge. Hadn't read about it to my knowledge. And the way I began to get so much information about it is because one night, Spirit kept me. In fact, it was exactly 4 years ago today. All right? 4 years ago today that demon named itself to me. And somebody had prayed for me here. I'd gotten upset about something, and I thought I was just losing my temper a little bit, but the other person had the discernment to realize that it was a spirit that was manifesting. And we prayed a little bit, and not a whole lot was accomplished at the time, but they bound that demon and said, "We command you to name yourself and to name the ruler demon in the next few days." Now, we kind of thought, well, it was just unprovoked anger. But it wasn't. There was a ruler demon. And that night when I went to bed, that spirit named itself to me when I was brushing my teeth. I was standing there brushing my teeth, and all of a sudden the name Asmodeus started pounding in my head. And I thought it was my imagination. Went to bed and I couldn't go to sleep. It kept pounding in my head. Finally, I laid hands on my head and I says, "I command you to be quiet in the name of Jesus Christ." I said, "I bind you and command you to be quiet in the name of Jesus Christ." And immediately, within 10 seconds, it was gone, and I could not remember the name again. Got up the next morning and remembered the incident, tried to think of the name, couldn't think of it. All day long, tried to think of it, couldn't think of it. Finally, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, while driving to Little Rock to the airport, this name popped into my mind again, and I said, "Asmodeus." Came back, and the next morning, got out the encyclopedia and looked and began to get my information. Went down to the library and began to look up some books there. And at first I thought I was on a wild goose chase. And I thought it was all a figment of my imagination. But what convinced me that I was not is when I began to list all of these characteristics of this demon and look at it, and I felt like somebody had been reading me my life pattern. If somebody else had told me, I would have probably argued with them. In fact, I know I would have argued with them. But when I saw it right down there, black and white, my own notes, and I began to see this, I thought, hey, we're on to something here. Still, I walked cautiously. For a while, I went up north, and I did a little more research, found a few more characteristics of this demon. And these are the ones I'm sharing with you this morning. I've given this message in different places. I've had people come up and say to me after the meeting, says, "For the first time, it makes sense what has happened in my life." For the first time. Now, I'm going to give you these characteristics in the order of what I think to be their influence and their power. And the first one I want to talk about this morning is jealousy. It is a jealous demon. And the reason it's jealous, it wants you all to itself. It doesn't want you to have anybody else. It wants you. I was just young, not saved very long, not filled with the Spirit very long. I was in Bible school up in Missouri, and I went to visit some relatives that lived down near Springfield one day, and I woke up real early the next morning, and a spirit spoke to me out loud. And I didn't know anything about anything in those days, but it said that it loved me. And somehow I had the presence of mind to know that it wasn't God, because God loves us. See? And demons have all of these things that look good. Just like when the devil talked to Jesus, he said things that sounded good. Used scripture, it sounded good, but it wasn't truth. And so this voice said to me, "I love you." And I just prayed against it. I don't know that I cast it out, but I forgot about it, or seemed to forget about it, but it came back, you know, some years later, especially as I was getting into this. I remember that incident, because he came back 3 times in my life, and each time he'd say a little more, want me to serve him. But that demon doesn't want you to have anybody else. There is an account in Jewish literature of a young woman that was married 7 times. And every time before the marriage could be consummated, her husband would die. This demon was killing the husband. Till finally, there was a man that she was going to marry, and he drove the demon out. So it's jealous. The next thing that it is a raging devil. Extreme anger. Extreme. I grew up in a household that was filled with rage. I thought it was common. You know, I just figured that was life when you've never known anything else. You just think that's normal. In fact, I remember going into a home one time, and the husband and the wife, I lived in their home for about a year, they never said a cross word to each other. And I thought, this can't be. This just can't be. I'd never really seen anything like that. Because all I had known was a house filled with rage. I knew a little, there was peace in the midst of the storm once in a while, but it wasn't often. It was usually rage over one thing or another. So I believe that this demon came on my life, in my life. I believe that some of it was a result of a generational curse. Something had been in the bloodline. Now the next thing about this demon is that it is a very lustful spirit. Now it says in the encyclopedia that it was a raging demon that turned into a demon of lust. And the thing that is interesting about it is that in Middle Ages, it was well known that this was a demon that wanted to possess nuns and tried to possess nuns and did possess nuns. Now, nuns were the only, women that were involved in ministry at that time. And so I can see now why it attacked me and possessed me. And there is something I noticed when I was in Bible school. I only thought of this today. But when I was in Bible school and I was living in the dorm, just about any day, I could go by the prayer room and go in the prayer room for a little bit, and there would be some girl in there praying, really crying out to God and really trying to settle the issue of whether she should get married or stay single and go to the mission field. Do you remember that, Nancy? That's the way it was. I mean, there was more tears shed over that. And I really think, because see this, and I'll talk about this too, this is also a religious spirit. It's a religious demon. I mean, that really sounds religious. For a young woman to forsake all and not get married, not have a family and go to the mission field. Doesn't that sound religious? Now, I know people who have really sincerely been called to be single. In fact, the woman who was my spiritual mentor, she just passed away. The funeral was this week. Known her since I was a teenager. And so her passing is a real loss to me in many ways. But when she was 12 years old, she was out in the cornfield. You can only understand that if you've come from Iowa like I did. She was out in the cornfield, and the Spirit of the Lord came and spoke to her. She wasn't Pentecostal or anything like that, but he spoke to her and said that she was never to get married, that she was called to be a prayer intercessor, and that she was to stay home. She wasn't to work. She was to always pray. She went to a liturgical church. And her family didn't quite understand her, but she was faithful to that. So we know that there are people that are called to be single. In fact, in the book of Matthew, Jesus talks about that. I think I wrote that down in Matthew. I believe it is 19. And we can read it. You can look at it. Maybe it's Matthew 12. Where is it when Jesus said, not many will receive it? 19:12. Okay. Yes, there it is. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way, others were made that way by men, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. So we know that there are people that are definitely called to be single. But I don't think it is all that many. Now, interestingly enough, I have met more men that were called to be single than women. In fact, most of the single people that I know, I don't think have been called to be single. But I've known, there's a man right now on the mission field that I know who I believe, at least until now, God has called him to be single because of the work that he is doing, and he would say the same thing. And there are others that I've known that God has definitely called to be single. And some people say that, and I want to say something here this morning. If you are really, really called to be single, I'm saying this for the benefit of single people who may be here, single people who will hear the tape. If you're really called to be single, then you shouldn't be going out with men or women. I have known people who said they were called to be single and they have left a trail of broken hearts. And that was never, ever God's intention that somebody should be a heartbreaker. In fact, this woman that I was just talking about, who, when God called her and told her she should never get married, there was a young man that liked her when she was a teenager, and she was kind of cute when she was young. In fact, she was nice looking when she was older, and he came around, And he got upset because she wouldn't marry him. He'd come over and visit her in the evening like they used to do years ago and spend time. They'd sit out on the porch talking in front of her parents, you know. And he got really upset, and she says, "I can't marry you." She says, "God told me that I can't marry you." And he was taking it personally, and so one day she thought, I know what I'm going to do. So she invited him to come over for dinner, and she invited one of her girlfriends over and introduced the two of them, and they got married and had a family. I went to school with those kids. And so I thought that was kind of interesting, but God never intended for you to be a heartbreaker, to go around breaking people's hearts. But there are those, and I'm not going to give a percentage, but I believe it's far, far lower than what we're seeing, and that the reason people are single today is because of the work of the devil. In fact, I will go so far, obviously, to say I believe the reason that I'm single is the work of the devil. I don't believe it's God that brought me to, but God has used me. And all that, and people will say, you know, they'll try to encourage me because, you know, basically I'm pretty happy, and I enjoy life, but people will try to encourage me once in a while. And I remember one time I went to a pastor's retreat up in Wisconsin, and I was the only single person there. I thought, well, if it's pastor's retreat and a lot of it's paid for, I'm going to get the benefit of it. I'm a pastor. And I went, and there was all these husbands and wives there, and one night the husbands and wives were gathering around. They were, you know, had their arms around each other praying for each other. And I was just standing there praying to the Lord, and someone came over and in good intentions prayed for me. And I thought, well, that wasn't really necessary. I didn't want attention drawn to the fact that I was standing there alone. But, you know, it's sometimes married people don't know how to handle single people. And so they will go out of their way to try to make them feel accepted or and loved. Sometimes they go to the other extreme and try to ignore them. But we're not talking about all that today. But that devil wants you to himself. He is filled with rage, and he is a lustful devil. Now, I was telling you about the girls in Bible school that are always praying, well, Lord, you want me to get married or be single and go to the mission field. And I don't know of men that did that in Bible school. They're in the prayer room praying for someone they've got their eye on. Right, Glenn? Aren't most of them doing that? Well, he always says how he saw Irma walking up the aisle, and he said, I'm going to marry her. And I'm sure he must have spent some time in prayer about that. Lord, I want her. Tell me if it's not your will. That's the difference, you know. It seems to be something, a mindset that is more comes to women than to men. Now, one of the other characteristics of this spirit is that is very excessive. In fact, in Jewish history, it had an association with Solomon. It even supposedly was, according to their literature, was helping Solomon build the temple. See, it's a religious demon. Wants to look good. But it was credited with all of Solomon's excesses in his later excessive living in his later life. Not the Spirit of God, according to the Jewish literature, but because of this spirit. And as a religious spirit, it is very intuitive and psychic. In fact, I will have to say that I believe at times it probably moves, you know, in a psychic realm, and people will think that it's the spiritual realm, the Holy Spirit realm. One of the things about its lustfulness is that if a couple does get married, the spouse who is possessed by this spirit will not want to have normal relations with their husband or their wife and will go out looking to have a relationship with somebody else, will deny their partner and go out looking for somebody else, will be driven out looking for somebody else. Because, see, that's another one of the characteristics of it. It is a driving, impetuous spirit. Never at rest. It can't find rest. And I'll have to say that that was probably one of the strongest manifestations in my life that I'm aware of, was that strong, driving spirit. Now, impetuous, never finding rest. If you'd told me that again, I would have argued with you. But I can look back and see how I made changes through my life so quickly and so often. never having rest. Nobody knows, unless they have been in that position, the feeling internally when inside you're never at rest. Your insides are always churning. You might look restful on the outside, but inside you're always, always churning. It is a demon associated with alcoholism. Again, according to Jewish history, it was a demon that made Noah drunk right after the flood. Now, normally, if we see somebody who has gotten drunk like that, we're going to pray for them for alcoholism. Well, that wasn't the ruler demon that was working. It wasn't alcoholism. It was Asmodeus making him drunk. Another one of its characteristics is that, or one of its functions, is that it is a ruler of the gaming houses. Let me put it in our terms today, that it is a ruler demon over the casinos. And it is also the inventor of drama, lewd French fashion. And have you ever noticed how out in Hollywood, what are the two things we recognize about Hollywood? It's drama and all of its adultery and divorces, don't we? I was out in Reno this summer, and I'll have to say that as I was flying into Reno, I'd never been out there before. First of all, I was surprised by how small it was. But secondly, it was like I could see this demon over that town. In the spirit, I could see it. And when I got on the ground, I could feel it all around me. And you wonder, what's Reno known for? Besides gambling, all of its marriages and divorces. What's Las Vegas known for besides gambling? Marriage and divorce. Yes, and prostitution in both places, which is all, you know, associated, I'm sure, with this spirit. Now, one of the things about this demon also is that it loves to have a good time, loves to have fun. I like to have a good time in the Lord. But before I got deliverance, I could get into a certain spirit of having a good time and destroy any anointing, you know, frivolity and the talk, just getting into real frivolous talk and destroy the anointing. But that love to have a good time. Now, see, another one of the things about it is that it's, on the other hand, it's also very sympathetic. See, there's so many things about it that look good, you could get fooled. Loves to have a good time. It's sympathetic. There was another one I was going to mention about it. Maybe I've hit all 12 of them. Now, you can look at your own life and you can take inventory and see if these have been the strong characteristics of your life. Now, I want you to think also for a minute, what are the things that cause us divorce today? Now, you may think you got divorced because your husband beat you up. Or your wife was running around on you. And it may be true that they were doing that. But what was the demon behind that wife abuse, wife beating, or maybe even husband bashing? But an extreme spirit of rage that would take hold of a person in an instant. And of course we know of all the adultery that is going on. And we think, well, now that's the reason you divorced your husband, is because he was committing adultery, or your wife because she was committing adultery. And you tried to take authority over that adultery spirit. And what's another thing that has contributed to the breakup of marriages? But excessive living. Living beyond one's means. Excessive spending, excessive living. Always wanting more than what you can afford. I've had people, and I've noticed this, what do people fight about the most? Money. Usually it's money. Beg your pardon? Yeah, credit abuse. Yeah. What is one of the other things that contributes to the... I mean, all these things contribute to the breakup of marriage, or just about all of them do. But there is the rage and jealousy. I can give you example after example after example of people who have been so jealous of their mate that they won't even let them talk to a member of the opposite sex. Sometimes won't even let them talk to somebody else because they're feeling like they're being rejected because their mate is spending so much time talking to other people. And sometimes that is the case, but more often than not, it's a jealous, that jealous demon associated, you know, under that ruler demon of Asmodeus. Jealousy. I know a lady, and her husband was one of the top preachers. And she was so jealous of him. Finally, he couldn't stand it any longer. And actually, I think that spirit was working in both of them. Because, and the reason I say that is one night they went out for dinner, and he hadn't touched a drop of alcohol since he had been a Christian. He'd been a Christian for over 30 years, been in the ministry over 30 years. They took another couple out to dinner up in Minnesota, and he ordered wine, something that he hadn't touched. And that one drink opened him up, and he became an alcoholic, started running around on his wife, and just one thing after another. But she also had had that jealous demon. And so, like I heard Brother Jerry say the other day, he thinks that people, and he said it, I believe, here in the service, that when people get married, the thing that attracts them to one another is the mutual demons that they have in each other. And I'm quite convinced of that myself, as I have seen people get together. I've often wondered how somebody could be across a room and see someone walk by and want them, haven't even met them, don't know what their personality is, don't know anything about them, but they see them and they know that they're going to marry them. You've seen that. I've talked to people that aren't Christians that are that way. My dad said that about my mother. Saw her walk across the room and he knew that he was going to marry her. I don't believe it was a witness of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't saved at the time. So alcoholism is one of the contributing factors to the breakup of marriages. The lustfulness and the adultery that results, the rage and the jealousy, the excessive living. And, you know, being the ruler of the gaming houses or the casinos, you can see the association between that and the excessive living. Wanting to get a fast dollar. Now, one of the things, first of all, this demon will speak to married people and say that you need to get a divorce. This is on its religious side. It'll tell you to get a divorce so you can better serve the Lord. You ever heard anybody say that? They're saying, I can't serve the Lord. I've heard women and men both say that. I can't serve the Lord as long as I have this mate. In fact, there's a preacher that I know who served the Lord for 7 years before his wife got saved. And a woman came to him one day and said, the Lord shows me that your wife's never going to get saved. You might as well get a divorce. And she says, in fact, I think the Lord's telling me that you should get a divorce. Well, that sounded wonderful to him. And, of course, this woman moved in the Spirit. And, of course, this woman also had an eye on this guy. 1 week later, 1 week to the day, his wife comes to church, and the Spirit of conviction gets her after 7 years, and she's made her husband's life miserable. And she runs to the altar, cries through to the Lord in a good old-fashioned way, and wept for about an hour. And when she got up from her knees, the first person whose eyes met her wasn't her husband, but was the woman who had prophesied that to her husband. And her husband was not at all happy that she had gotten saved, because in his mind, he had already divorced her. And it's interesting, this woman that got saved, she had the wisdom to know how to handle the situation. I mean, there was nothing between the two of them anymore. There was nothing. Neither one of them cared for the other one. There was no relations between the two of them. They never even touched each other. And as she came home, you know, when she was walking around, she was praising the Lord, and her husband says, I don't understand this. He didn't even rejoice. I don't understand this. They went to bed at night, and he laid looking at the ceiling, saying, I don't understand this. And she realized that their marriage didn't get that way overnight, and it wasn't going to necessarily change overnight. And after 6 months, they finally were holding hands again. Eventually, things got back to where it should have been. It took about a year to get back where it should have been. But that demon will tell people that they should get a divorce so they can better serve the Lord. And marry somebody else. Usually it's like that, so they can marry somebody else and tell single person you should never get married so you could better serve the Lord. Well, both of those are lies. Both of those have hindered people in their ministry, hindered them in their walk with God. Maybe they're not in the ministry, hindered them in their walk with God. And you thought you've heard from God. I'm going to go so far as to say you probably didn't hear from God. If you're single. If you're married, I know you didn't hear from God. Now, the reason the devil hates marriage so much, now there's a number of reasons, but one of them is that every time somebody gets married, it tells you, it speaks of something in the spirit realm. And it says, it talks about the fact that one day there's going to be the ultimate marriage between God's Son and His bride. Every time a marriage takes place. And God instituted marriage. And you know, the Scripture tells us, we know that, we say that, we read about it. And the Scripture says that in the last times they will deny people to marry. That's going to be one of the identifying marks of the end time, is that people will say not to get married. Now, it's not entirely a new thing. The Essenes, back at the time of Jesus, they weren't getting married. I've met people in my travels, as I have ministered, that have taken vows of celibacy. Usually it's that spirit over and over again since I began to understand about the demon of Asmodeus. Now, I can tell just by looking out in the congregation this morning, we're a small group here today. We're an intimate group. But some of you have been severely damaged by this spirit. Some of you that are young, some of you that are older. And I believe today God wants to set you free. Now, we were talking about whether you have to call that demon by name. And I've discovered something as I have been ministering on this, that I've got into situations where a person didn't know anything about Asmodeus, and I've gone to pray for them. And you call out that demon, and they've fallen over on the floor, and sometimes they've convulsed, sometimes they've just fallen into a stupor. They've never heard the name, but it's been the controlling demon in their mind. And they've done that more than if I have prayed about a spirit of adultery, or alcoholism, or jealousy, or rage, or religious spirit, or psychic spirit, or driving spirit. When I've called it what it is, after I had gotten the understanding of this, I picked up a book written by an author from Nigeria. And they'd been casting out that demon in Nigeria by the same name. It was associated with the water spirit, the water demon. And in fact, they talked about the fact that it wanted to be married to the person that they possessed. And sometimes those demons, and we're you know, I think this was talked about here. I haven't been in all of the afternoon services where maybe this was talked about more. But sometimes those demons would even take on human form and have sex with them. They're called incubus and succubus. I didn't know about those things when I first came down to camp. I thought I knew a lot, but I didn't know about those things. And I remember the first time I was coming down for a full camp meeting, I was in Chicago. And I thought my plane was leaving at 7 o'clock in the morning to come down here. So I'd gotten up at 3:30 to get the shuttle to get to the airport by 7 o'clock or before 7 o'clock, by 6:30. And when I got there, I realized that I had changed my ticket and I'd made a mistake and my plane didn't leave until 1 o'clock that afternoon. So I've got 6 hours layover, and when it was supposed to leave at 1, it still sat on the runway for another hour and a half. And I'm thinking, well, I guess God's got something for me here. And when you got that many hours, you know, you wonder, you know, what you're going to do with all that time. And, you know, I went and sauntered into a restaurant and had some breakfast. And finally, about 5 hours before I was supposed to even get on my plane, I went to the gate where I was going to get on. And I sat down, and I'd gotten some newspapers and magazines and things like that to read. And I sat down and I started reading the newspaper. And it was still early in the morning. Wasn't that many people around. There was some fellow sitting over here, another gentleman sitting over here, and they were minding their own business, reading their newspapers. And I was deep in the newspaper, and all of a sudden I felt something come against me, could have knocked me over. And it was a demonic attack of lust. And I knew that it didn't come out of me. It was something being projected against me. You can feel that sometimes, you know, when you're in ministry, you can feel that from people. I've had that happen on more than one occasion. But this was extreme, and I'm sitting there, and I just keep reading my paper. Finally, I put the paper down, and I kind of look over, you know, at this man here, and he's minding his own business. I look over at this fellow here, and he's minding his own business. And I looked around, and I didn't see anybody. And I went back to reading my paper again, and I mean, it was worse. I put the paper down, and here sat a fellow right across, a kitty corner across from me, and when he knew that he had caught my eye, he went into a real lustful stance, and I looked at him again, and I couldn't see him. And I was thinking I was losing it, you know. You know, you would. I went back to my reading. I got a magazine, and I felt this thing come against me again, and I looked around. I didn't see anybody. I put my head back down, and all of a sudden I saw somebody's shoe. And I looked up, and he was sitting right across from me. Put my head back down, looked up just a little bit, you know, to see if I could see that shoe, and it was gone. Looked around, didn't see anybody. I want to tell you something. This went on for 5 hours. 5 hours. I would see him, and it was like he'd disappear in front of my eyes. One point I saw him across in another section sitting, and the next instant, he would be right over beside me. And I, you know, this thing was so intense that I started to perspire. I think I told you about that when I first got down here. I said, man, you don't know what I've been through. And I thought it was a person, but because I couldn't see it, and then I could see it, and I couldn't see it, finally, I realized, and it was after I was down here, that it must have been a demon taking on human form. And Bill Goodson had said to me, I told him and Peggy about it, and he said, you should have pointed at that thing and rebuked it in the name of Jesus. And I thought, it could have been that I was the only one seeing it. It's possible. When I got up to get on the plane, he was standing right there, and I thought, oh, no, this guy's going to be on the same plane. I got in line to get on the plane. He was nowhere to be found. He wasn't on the plane. And so that I can only determine that it was a spirit sent to try me and to teach me something about the spirit realm. To teach me that those demons are there to destroy you. And I didn't know the name of incubus and succubus at the time, and I was down here and I was reading the book by the Moody's, the manuscript that wasn't in print then, on inherited sexual sins, that I really recommend that you read if you haven't already. And they talked about it in there. And that's when I realized that is what had happened to me in broad daylight. If that can happen in broad daylight, what can happen in the darkness? Because the demons love darkness rather than light. But I'm glad it happened, because I can understand about all of the major functions of this demon as a result. I know how to pray for people. And I appreciate the fact that God has given me that insight, although at the time it was a terrible experience. Now I want to say, we want to pray for you this morning. You may have been through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 marriages. In fact, you know, I was ministering on this out in Boise, Idaho a couple of years ago, and I was in a meeting of mostly church people, and I said, you may have been married 5 times. And a friend of mine, whose home I was staying in while I was having meetings, she thought, Linda, why did you say such a dumb thing like this? These are all church people. And a lady came up to me afterwards, and she said, I have been married 5 times. And she said, everything makes sense. And you may have been horribly abused by this spirit. You may have had this spirit in you. But I'll tell you, because I know it from experience, there is deliverance for you today. There is deliverance for you. You can be set free. People have come here or have heard the tape. They've recognized that it was their problem. And they've laid hands on themselves, and they've commanded that spirit out, and gone and gotten married within a matter of a couple months. Somebody has come out of the woods, seemingly, and they've gotten married. There was a man in a church up in Wisconsin, a deacon in an Assembly of God church. He'd been married 3 times. In fact, they had to change the bylaws so they could allow him to be a deacon. And so he was single there, and a lot of women were chasing him, naturally. And he got married again, fourth time, and within 1 month, his marriage was seriously in danger. Wynn Worley came up into the community to have meetings, and the pastor took his deacon to Wynn Worley's meetings. And there was just a few people, less than what we have here this morning, and Wynn invited people to come up, and he would pray for them. And so this deacon went up there, and Wynn took him by the hand, and he says, "I rebuke and bind the spirit of Asmodeus," and the guy just pitched over on the floor. Laid there for about 5 minutes and got up a changed individual. He went home, and his wife knew immediately that something had happened to him, and I will have to say he is an entirely different person than I ever knew before. I went back there to have meetings after he had been delivered, and he didn't have to say anything had happened to him. You could see it all over him. God will do it for you today. Can you believe for that? Maybe it has affected your children. It may, as I believe it was, partly in my case, a result of generational curses. But I'll tell you one thing. If you feel this has been in your life, you still have to repent of it. You still have to repent. I mean, you're not just entirely a victim. It has operated through you. It has affected other lives. And you need to repent of that, and we're going to do that right now. I want you to bow your heads. While you have your heads bowed, I want to say this to you. It also, you may have opened yourself up to this by blatant rebellion. Just about anything can come into you if you are rebellious. And we've talked about that here. And it leaves by you recognizing it, number one, by your repenting. I know that some of you have recognized this morning. Repenting. And then we are going to name it and call it out of you. Deliverance. For this reason, the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. I want you each one to repent yourself in your own prayer. You don't need to pray out loud. You can pray out loud if you want. I'm not going to lead you in a prayer this morning. I want you to do your own repenting. You know how to repent by now. You should. You may need to repent to your spouse. I want you to say to the Lord, you don't have to do this out loud. I want you to say, "I'm truly sorry for my sins, truly sorry for my jealousy and my rage, my lustfulness, my excessive lifestyle, my lust for excessive things. I ask you to forgive me for my gambling nature or for loving to gamble. I ask you to forgive me for the way I dress. Lord Jesus, I bind this demon that is operating in people here this morning. I bind your power that you will no longer drive them, that you will no longer possess them, that you will no longer have authority in their lives. I break the generational curses that are over their lives this morning. I take authority over every work of darkness that has bound them, that has driven them, that has caused them to be jealous and filled with rage and lust and adultery, adulterous spirit. I bind it. I command that you have no more place in these precious people's lives in Jesus' name. I take authority over you now, and I command you, demon of Asmodeus, to come out, to come out. Come out. I command you to come out. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. Release your hold right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I command you to come out of people. You can lay hands on yourself and command it to come out. In the name of Jesus, I command it to come out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every bit of this, every dreg, everything that is held on, everything that from my generation, everything from my family that I've allowed to come into my life, I command it to come out in Jesus' name. You have no more place in my life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out, demons of Asmodeus. And all of your characteristics, all of your manifestations, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. I command that you not tear in the name of Jesus, but I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. You have no more place. And my brother and sister's lives, in Jesus' name. No more place in the name of Jesus. No more place. Hallelujah. Jesus is the one that is alive in your heart. And we call him forth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every demon of Asmodeus, in the name of Jesus, I command you to release your hold on my brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me just pray for you. In the name of Jesus, I command every spirit incest and Asmodeus to come out of my brother. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I command you to release your hold on my sister. In the name of Jesus, right now. Take your hands off her. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Kitala Mama Kushala la 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 bakuranda la bakaranda. In the name of Jesus, everything that has come against my brother and sister, in the name of Jesus, I command you to take your hands off them, come out of them. In the name of Jesus. 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 Jesus, we just command every demon to come out of you in the name of Jesus. Ulaba, every spirit of Asmodeus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every demon of Asmodeus, in the name of Jesus. Take your hands off her head. Come out in Jesus' name. 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 In the name of Jesus. We put the blood of Jesus against you. In the name of Jesus. 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 I command you, demon of Asmodeus, that has warred against my sister and has plagued her life, to come out of her right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come out of her. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Loboko, loboko, shalaba, kalaba, kalaba, kandoroboko, randa. In the name of Jesus. 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 Katalaba, koranda, labaku, shalaba, koranda. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. My sister loves Jesus. You demon of Asmodeus that's had any effect on her life, we command you out of her. Out of her, we break the generational curse. Every spirit of incest, in the name of Jesus, that is on her bloodline, in the name of Jesus, we command it out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just feel the praise for Nancy. Is that okay? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, every demon associated with Asmodeus that is in her bloodline and has come down and has plagued her footsteps in any way that has hindered her in her walk with God, whatever characteristics, in Jesus' name, this ruler demon of Asmodeus that has affected you, in the name of Jesus. 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 Coming from her father's back family, in Jesus' name, I take authority over you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Yes, we do. Every spirit of the bastard, in Jesus' name. I break the curse of that on you. Amen. In your bloodline. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That religious demon Hallelujah. Come on, Sababa, Kobo, Boko, Rabara. Ruba, Lama, Lama, Kosha, Rabara. Yes, we do. We loose it off their children. Yes, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come, Mama, Rika, Randa, Lama, Koranda. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I just pull it out of my sister in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus prevails. The blood of Jesus prevails. The blood of Jesus prevails. The blood of Jesus prevails in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabakaranda, Rabakaranda. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Kamasana Malama Ranga. Lama Lama Ranga. Maybe some of you feel like you need more extensive ministry on this, and we're available to pray longer. Amen. God wants you to leave here free. He wants you to leave here free from guilt and from the oppressive nature and oppressiveness of this demon. In Jesus' name, we command it to come out. We command it out. We command it out. Any dregs of it left in my life, I command it out right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You pray for me, Irma. Pray any another layer of that out. I pray for everybody else. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Kandala Baba.
The blood of Jesus worships and strengthens us. All you spirits of associated with that blood. All the spirits associated with it. She's mentioned all of you already today. We bind your power and break your assignment and loose them from it in the name of Jesus. We loose it. We loose it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I command this spirit not to weep any longer, but to come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Kumalaba kuma sharanda laba karanda laba karanda. Lama baroba kasharanda laba karanda. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You baby doll spirit, come out of her. You baby doll spirit, come out of her. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Rimama ba ka sharanda la ba ko rababa ka sarabaranda la ba karanda. In the name of Jesus. 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 Amen. 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 Every spirit of Asmodeus, reveal to him, Lord. Reveal to him in Jesus' name where this has had any inroad in his life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I pray for Phil right now. I take authority over that religious spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Associated with Asmodeus. In the name of Jesus, I command you to take your hands off him. In Jesus' name. That you have no more place in his life. In the name of Jesus, I command you to cease talking to him. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are doing a work even this very moment. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to pray for you too, touching everybody else. In the name of Jesus, I just pray for my brother. Any way the Spirit has touched his life, hindered his life, influenced him, had an effect on him, been over him, under him, in him, around him. In the name of Jesus, I command it to leave him. In Jesus' name, and I pray that he would go home and lay hands on his wife and pray the same thing in Jesus' name. Amen. Kathy, I'm going to pray for you. In Jesus' name, I take authority over every spirit that is touching you.
Amen. But you know, now you see, nobody can ever, I don't care what the theologian is, I don't care what their, how many degrees they've got, nobody can ever change what happened to Linda. See? She knows, and everybody can stand against her, but they can never change her because it happened to her, see? And who better has the ability then to teach on it except the person it happened to, see? So when something happens to you, don't let people take it away from you. And that's the way, huh? No, you didn't need to. You didn't need to. It got incorporated in as you went. Yeah. But see, that's the way most of the things that we understand and teach about here have happened to some of us. It has actually happened to us. The tape that we didn't pass out to everybody, the Arkansas story, has on the back of it, fills up the back of it, how we came to understand, don't bring an abominable thing into your house. Well, some of the abominable things are what you eat. That's listed in there. But nobody can ever change us because it happened to us. And a girl is alive today because Irma was faithful when the Spirit of the Lord rested on her to go call on her, even though she really didn't know the girl. The girl's alive and well and delivered of cancer of the colon. And through that, the Lord showed us, don't you bring in an abominable thing into your house. Lest you become a cursed thing like it. And people take a lot of things and say, well, that's Buddhism, and that's it. No, the Lord's got a whole list of things that he calls abominable, and some of them's the food you eat. And you try to take Peter's vision and argue it away. But if you go on over to where Peter was called before the council, and he explained the vision, never once did he say that he went and ate pork. Sorry. And the same way that the same way in the other areas here that the Lord things have happened to us that no longer can anybody, they don't agree with us, but that's okay. I have no problem with that because I didn't agree either. And there may be some things that I don't agree yet that I'm wrong about. So we'll all learn together and learn. Little by little, he's changing me. He's changing Glenn Miller. Little by little, I like to say it that way. He's changing me.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.